It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And I took a long walk in the woods yesterday. My dog and I, we wandered around, went down to the lake, checked out the water levels, low, checked out the ice, thin. Not a good time to be heading out on the ice. Getting on the ice is always the trouble this time of year. Usually the ice away from shore is a bit safer, but the shoreline ice, because of the presence of vegetation, which can absorb heat, and because of the shallow nature of the water underneath the ice, a lot of things can happen there that can cause that ice to be pretty treacherous to get across. I can recall in my reckless youth throwing down a plank and walking across open water to get onto the ice. And it can be done, though I refrain from doing so at this advanced stage in my life. I'm not about to dance out onto a sheet of ice that is going to be pretty crunchy and maybe not safe. So be careful if you're thinking of going out there. But on your way to the lake, keep an eye out, because there are some things that are kind of interesting. One of the things that caught my eye yesterday, and typically every year in the spring, this is the time of year when my eye searches out green things, because there are a lot of things that are evergreen, and some of them are evergreen just because, and some of them are evergreen because they're short on certain nutrients, and they've just decided that the easy way to get through the winter is to maintain the leaf and keep it ready to go. And so some of the things that I observed yesterday that were green, and these are probably throughout the area, there's a little flower that grows near the wetlands called gold thread. If you find it, it has three leaves. The leaves are sort of fluted along the edge, kind of round, little rounded teeth along the edge of the leaf. If you find what you suspect is gold thread, follow one of the leaves down the stem to the ground, and just kind of clear away a bit of the moss or whatever's the substrate is. Maybe it's dead leaves. And just push it back a little bit, and you will see, if it is gold thread, you'll see a bright gold root that is the rhizome that gold thread grows from. And gold thread will flower probably in May, and it will have a five-petaled white flower about half inch across, kind of pretty. And it's worth checking out. But right now, it is pretty easy to spot, because among all of the brown out there, you're going to find green gold thread leaves. The other bright green leaf that I ran into yesterday was wintergreen. And many of you are aware of wintergreen. It has a rounded, smooth-edged leaf. The leaf itself is waxy and tough and just what you would expect if you were going to make a leaf that you wanted to keep for several years. This is the kind of leaf you would make. It's thick, it is leathery, it is tough, and it is well protected with wintergreen oil. So if you come across wintergreen, tear a little tiny piece of the leaf off and chew it a little bit, and you will taste that wintergreen flavor. So wintergreen is another green thing that you will find. The third thing that I found, and this time of year, this is always exciting for me, is trailing arbutus. And I went over to Cherry and Virginia this last week, and while I was walking with the kids at Cherry, we came across both wintergreen and trailing arbutus. And of course, the kids wanted to know, I showed them that the wintergreen was quite sweet and quite flavorful, and everybody, we picked some leaves and we chewed a few and got the wintergreen oil from them. But the trailing arbutus is not tasty. Well, I don't know. I've never tried to eat it. But the leaf is green, and the difference, of course, is that the edge of the wintergreen leaf is smooth and entire, and the edge of the trailing arbutus leaf is not smooth and not entire. It has tiny cinnamon-colored red hairs sticking out of the edges of the leaves and down the stems. But that one has also a Mayflowering plant, also a five-petaled white flower. This one, the trailing arbutus, has a very strong odor, and it is quite spicy and sweet at the same time. So if you are out walking around and you find these sort of semi-hairy leaves that are green this time of year, check them out, mark the spot, and come back in May when they'll be in bloom. Strawberries, some of the strawberry plants come through the winter, bright green, just like they went into winter last fall. Strawberry, of course, three leaves, like the gold thread. Very regularly toothed. If you look at the edge of a strawberry leaf, you're going to think of the edge of a saw. It's got really regular teeth on the edge. Ferns, I found Dryopteris cristata, Carthusiana. Both of these ferns are evergreen. The sterile leaves of these ferns, I've never found a fertile leaf of either of those ferns green in the wintertime. So sterile leaves of ferns. And then the other thing that I noticed was sedges. There are several sedges that grow in clumps and come through the winter bright green in the soil or in the trail. And the two that I could come up with are Arcturus and Peduncularis. And both of these sedges are evergreens and show up pretty obviously when you start walking around in the woods. So if you're all walking around, spend a minute and just look at some of the green things that you see out there, because they're going to jump out at you. Most of the substrate, most of the forest floor right now is pretty brown, kind of, dead leaves. But there are some colors out there too, and especially green. Looking at some of the plants along my way yesterday, I noticed that the Juneberry plants, if you look at Juneberry buds, you'll see that right at the tip of the bud, there are these fine white hairs that begin to emerge this time of year. So check out Juneberry, look for shrubs. I found some Juneberry yesterday that were probably 3 inches thick. But for the most part, Juneberry is a smaller, finger-sized stems of uniform gray, and the buds are kind of a reddish brown and pointy. And there, if you look carefully, you'll see these tiny wispy white hairs sticking out of the ends of the Juneberry buds. I checked a lot of speckled alder yesterday to see if I could dislodge any pollen. The answer is no. No pollen was available. Average date for speckled alder pollen to be flying is the 3rd of April, so we're very close. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if sometime between now and next week I am able to dislodge some speckled alder pollen. The catkin, the male flower that will yield the pollen, is starting to distend. They spent the winter as a probably 3/4 inch long, hard little nub of a flower. And now they are, I found some yesterday that were probably 2 inches long. And they have, they've become more flexible, softened is what they've done. And so check out the speckled alders. The other plant that has a male flower similar to the speckled alder is the hazel. And both the beaked and American hazel have these catkins. And they are quite tight for the most part. They're about half an inch long and kind of a yellowish green. And yesterday I found, maybe half a dozen on several different bushes that were longer, maybe up to an inch, and a little bit flexible. So the flowers on the speckled alder, or the American hazel and the beaked hazel, are starting to distend. And this is also a sign of spring. It won't be very long before those hazel flowers will get soft and yield pollen. And at the same time, the female flowers will begin to burst forth, and they are lovely, but very, very, very tiny. You're going to have to look very close to find the hazel flowers. Mountain ash. I was out with the school kids on Tuesday last week, and we looked at a mountain ash, and the tips of the buds were quite fuzzy, almost like a aspen, but more pointy. The aspen flowers are out and pretty obvious right now, especially the male flowers. If you are if you're living near any popple trees, get a pair of binoculars and just look up at the buds on the tree, and you'll see the fuzzy pussy willow like buds that are coming out on those. So check out the aspens; they are starting to flower. The mountain ash has these. I don't know. I haven't looked at enough mountain ash buds to know if this fuzz that I'm seeing now is something that's there in the wintertime. But they're definitely getting fuzzy at the ends. And of course, any fuzzy flower this time of year, any flower this time of year that's likely to be seen is likely to be fuzzy. And that fuzziness helps to trap heat. Think pussy willows, and you should by now have seen some pussy willows. Just about everywhere I look, I can spot pussy willows right now. The little white flowers are out, and I have a big male and female side by side. Both sexes are in flower right now with lots and lots of little flowers. I shouldn't say in flower. Their flowers are developing. They are not yet mature. That will happen in April, and we'll talk about that when that begins to happen. But the pussy willows are definitely starting to show off. In the bird world, I have a note about goldfinches. I still haven't seen any of the goldfinches at my house begin to show any change, any molt toward their bright yellow color of the summers. I'll be watching for that. I suspect that maybe some of you are seeing that. It usually starts right under the beak, right in the chin area, where it begins to show a bit more yellow, and then the whole bird will gradually molt and become bright yellow. Black cap, black wings, black tail, but bright yellow body. That should begin to happen pretty soon. I still have purple finches at my feeder. I still have red poles, pine siskins, juncos. All of those birds are still hanging out at my feeders. The redpoll, siskins, and juncos will gradually decrease in number and sort of slide up further north. We do get a few that spend the summer here, but not very many. Most of them head north from here. I've had a pair of red-winged blackbird males that have been at my feeder off and on over the last few, it's almost 2 weeks now. I think they showed up back in around the 14th or the 12th, somewhere in there. About the time the robins showed up, they showed up. Speaking of robins, I had a hike on Thursday last week in Cohasset, and we must have seen five or six different birds. Our hike leads us by several apple trees, and the robins are busy eating the apples off of these trees as they await warmer weather and the emergence of the worms. But the kids down in Little Falls found worms on the sidewalks down there, so it won't be long and the robins will be able to switch their diet to something more akin to what they would eat during the summer, which are for the most part worms. I heard a sandhill crane last week. I saw two red-tailed hawks last week, and they were along the Blue Heron Drive. We have had nesting pairs of red-tailed hawks along Blue Heron Drive in the past, but it's been 4 or 5 years since I've had a pair nesting along the Blue Heron Drive, so I'll be, I crossed my fingers when I saw them and thought, oh boy, come stay. I'd be really happy to have you as my neighbors. The bald eagle is patiently sitting on her nest, has been since March 7th, another 2 weeks, and she should be hatching. Her little offspring, at least the firstborn, will probably be hatching very soon. So we'll be watching for that and let you know when that happens. I saw a northern harrier, a male northern harrier. That's the little hawk that flies over the fields. The males are silver. The male and female both have a white rump patch and so are pretty easily identified by that. They're large, not large, but they're a hawk. They're going to be pigeon-sized or thereabouts, longer wings probably than a pigeon, maybe not as big a bodies. The first American kestrel showed up this past weekend, and the wild turkeys have been doing quite a lot of dancing, displaying every morning. There are, at my house, I have 5 or 6 males and probably 9 or 10 females. And they come out in the fields, and if I were home right now, I'm sure I would hear them gobbling, and the males would be displaying. My final note is about pileated woodpeckers. I have a male and female that live on my territory. She does not come to the feeder. He does. He comes to the feeder several times a day. He's calling. He's drumming. He's doing everything he can to establish a territory and keep other maybe pileated woodpeckers out of the area. I don't know why she does not come to the feeder. Maybe he's bringing her food. I went to the Life Histories of North American Woodpeckers, Arthur Cleveland Bent's book on the woodpeckers. And I started reading through to see if I could find anything about behavior. Is it normal for the male to show up at a feeding site and for the female not to come and eat? Is he bringing her food? I read the entire unit and I could not find anything about that. What I did find, and this is quoting from the book, Audubon said of the pileated woodpecker, "Its flesh is tough, of a bluish tint, and smells so strongly of worms and insects that it, on which it generally feeds, as to be extremely unpalatable." And Major Bendire says, "I have occasionally seen bunches of these birds, numbering 4 to 12, exposed for sale at the markets. I tried to eat one when short of meat while traveling through the Blue Mountains of Oregon, but I certainly cannot recommend it. It feeds to a great extent on the large black wood ants, which impart to it a very peculiar and, to me, an extremely unpleasant flavor, a kind of sweet-sour taste, which any amount of seasoning and cooking does not disguise, and I consider it as a very unpalatable substitute for game of any kind." So, just in case you are curious... in those days, you know, if you were out and you were traveling, you oftentimes were not in the neighborhood of a grocery store. And if you had a chance to shoot a bird the size of a pileated, you would certainly try to cook it and eat it. Well, it appears that cooking and eating pileateds is not one of the choices that you ought to make. And of course, nowadays with grocery stores on every corner, you shouldn't have to go to those extremes. But I guess if you do, you're better off picking another bird other than the pileated woodpecker. We'll leave it there. If you have signs of spring you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you. That's part of our question of the week. So, and it certainly is, it has been an obsession of mine for years and years and years and years. So get out, have a look around, And let us know what signs of spring you're seeing. We'd love to hear from you.
That is Phenology on KAXE. You can find more at our website. If you're somebody who is interested in getting started, maybe this is a new idea for you. We also have links to the information we give to teachers at our website so that you can start noting the changes in nature. You can also sign up for the Season Watch newsletter. It's a great way to learn a lot very quickly. Charlie Mitchell always putting that what to look for list, what the watch list.
Yeah. And I love the way she organizes it. You can check out what's along the roads. You can check out what's in your yard. You can check out what's in the woods. Yeah, it's very nicely organized and a great place to get some ideas for what you might concentrate on. And as Heidi was saying, we do have lots of resources. So if you are interested in getting started as a phenologist, get in touch with us. We will absolutely direct you to those resources and get you started in the right direction. I didn't mention John Downing's experiment on ice out. And I have been keeping track, and I will be watching my lake to see how it responds. The formula is you take the average temperature for every day. Anytime the average temperature for the day is greater than 32, you subtract 32 from the number you get. So yesterday my average was 35. Subtracting 32, I get 3. Now, if you keep a column of those numbers and add them up, you will, as that number begins to approach 220, the ice should be going out on your lake. And just to let you know, as of this morning, I haven't figured out today's average temperature. I won't know until I see what today's high is. But as of, say, yesterday's high, my number was 82.5. So I'm still 140 days short of ice going out, but it can add up pretty quickly. If you get days where the highs is in the 50s and the lows in the 30s, it starts to really mount up in a hurry. So we will keep you posted. As I said, my number is 82.5 right now, and we're a ways away from having the ice go out.